Welcome to New Realities. This is Alan Steinfeld, and each week on this program, I present people who are a part of an ongoing revolution of consciousness, of spirit, mind, body, spirit, and where we're going as a civilization. Tonight's guest is very much involved in that sort of evolution. His name is Ed Stracher, and he is the author and the kind of creator of Reading Genius and also Energy Healing and the Sixth Sense. Ed, thank you for being here. Ed? Oh, Ed, are you there? I think I may have lost Ed. All right. I'm going to get Ed back on the line, and you can keep listening to this green fire. Hello, Ed, are you with us?
I am with you.
Okay, yeah, it's fine, we just lost you for a second, but I did just introduce you, and I want to know more about this kind of, this genius way of reading and thinking. Can you explain what you're doing when you talk about the genius part and this energy healing in the sixth sense? We'll start with the genius part, okay?
Okay. Sure. Let me explain a little bit of my background. I'm an electronics engineer and mathematician by training and invented a chip used in every bomb, tank, and missile in the U.S. and NATO. And I did that back in the 80s, Alan. And at one point, I met a spiritual teacher who invited me to go to Russia, which was the big bad Soviet Union at the time. And when I went there, I got a chance to study chess with the grandmasters. And one of the things that we know is that Russia, beyond any doubt, is the best in the world when it comes to chess. And chess is all about focus and concentration and mind expansion, brain power, pure brain power. The number four player in the world was a 19-year-old kid in the other room. And they showed me things about how to expand and turn on my brain power and do so quickly. And I learned that and got to be a master-level chess player in a relatively short time of a couple of months. And then I came back to the U.S. and I stopped playing chess, but then I got the opportunity to apply this to reading. And in applying this focus method and brain expansion, mental expansion method to reading, we started getting results that no one had ever seen. We took slow learners and had them finishing books in 15 minutes. We took fast learners, and they were finishing books in 10 minutes, and they could stand up and recite what they read to the class. This progressed on to the point where I got a chance to teach at the U.S. Air Force Academy. I got invited to West Point, the U.S. Naval Postgraduate School, IBM, Xerox, Hewlett-Packard, and a variety of corporations and countries around the world.
Okay.
And what it really comes down to – I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Yeah, because tell me what it really comes down to.
Yeah, what it really comes down to is what I created was a combination of physical exercises that get us physically into the process of reading, emotionally focusing our feelings into what the book is, focusing the left and right brain, which is key here because we typically only read in the left brain, focusing the left and right brain into what we're reading, and then the highest level of consciousness, which is the spirit, getting our spirit, heart, and soul connected into the book. When you do so, you can't put this book down and you start reading, not only with your eyes, not only with your brain, not only with your feelings, but also through your heart chakra, through your spirit. You sense and can feel the author and his or her intent, and a whole nother reality starts taking place, and you absorb this information as if you knew it already.
So, okay, well, let's talk about how you do that. How do you turn on your brain power? And then how do you read a book through all your chakras, through your heart chakra? So let's talk about how to turn on the brain.
Well, first off, the way we turn on the brain is the way we turn on anything in the human body. For example, if we want to turn on our muscle power, we know that we have to go lift weights, overwhelm the muscle, and the muscle responds and gets stronger. If we want to toughen the bottom layers of our skin, we walk on rough gravel barefoot, and the bottom layers of our skin get rougher, tougher. If we want to turn on our brain power, we have to overwhelm the brain. Because in reality, the brain is usually in typically in an idle state. So it's only using 2% or 5% of your brain power. The only way we're going to get you to turn on 10 or 20% of your brain power is to overwhelm the 2 or 5%. So the way we do that in reading is we read two books at one time. We would read the books upside down. We would turn the pages as fast as we can and then write down what we remember from the book with both the left and right hand, for example. All these things are incredibly frustrating at first.
Right.
And at the same time, it's that frustration that tells the brain that, hey, 5% of your brain power is not going to cut it. We've got to turn on 10. We've got to turn on 20. We've got to turn on 50. And this is when the brain expansion, mind expansion starts happening. So, for example, with my students, once we go two books upside down, turning the pages as fast as you can, well, the brain says we can't do this, so the brain starts turning on and turning on, and then you go back to one book right side up, and it becomes incredibly easy. Add to that mental training, visualization, and a variety of exercises like simple jumping jacks and other things, but yet done with mental training done simultaneously. So, for example, you're doing a jumping jack, but your eyes are closed and you're visualizing reading a book. So all these things train our entire neurology. They open up our chakra system, which I know you're familiar with, and they get us tuned into what it is we're doing. Most people, when they read a book, they pick up the book, they're lying on the couch, they're thinking about 10 or 20 other things, and their mind is daydreaming, and they can't stay focused on the book. Now we have a whole new system to get us zoned into what we're doing.
Right, so overstimulation, overstressing that muscle builds it, but how does it maintain the focus? Because you're saying it did all these other things. Now it can focus on one task. Is that what you're saying?
Correct. Correct. You see, the reality is just like if you were driving from New York to Florida and you could only go 5 miles an hour, you would be bored stiff. You'd be daydreaming. You probably wouldn't finish the drive. And it wouldn't be very exciting. And then if I gave you the keys to a brand new Ferrari and said no speed limits, it would be really exciting. You'd focus on the road. You'd be going 200 miles an hour. Follow?
Yeah.
Most people read like they're going 5 miles an hour. So they're thinking of 5 or 10 other things while they're reading. And their mind is just completely all over the place because you're underutilizing the brain power you have.
Right. So you go back from your Ferrari, you go back to your other car. But what changes when you go back to the old way if you take the car analogy?
Well, it's been said many times, once the mind is stretched, it never regains its original form. So once you turn on your brain power, just like once you lift weights, your muscles get big. If you never lift weights again, your muscles go back to, I wouldn't say their original size, but they decrease in strength. But then if you go to turn on your muscle power again, they increase and turn on much faster the second time. And so after you do this several times, it starts to become automatic. You start building a pattern.
So your concentration on what you're reading is better, and you can read quicker as well. That's what you're saying.
Let's talk about concentration. What guides our concentration is our emotions. Mm-hmm. It's not the brain. But the brain is the computer, so to speak. That's the processing center. But what guides our focus? What guides our focus is what we are feeling. If you just had a fight with your girlfriend and now you go to read a book, you're not going to focus on that book no matter what technique you're using because you're still thinking about the fight. That guides your focus. Mm-hmm. If you learn to get your feelings and emotions involved in a book, your focus is in that book. And that's one of the things that we show you in the Reading Genius system. So guiding your focus is your emotions and, to some extent, your heart. Where is your heart? Where are you guided? So one of the experiences that I have people do in the Reading Genius course is I have them connect to the author before they open the book. Mm. So you have Macbeth, and you connect to Shakespeare. That man put a great amount of his life, probably a few years, into writing that book. Mm. And by simply holding the book in front of you in a semi-meditative state, and imagining him sitting right on the other side of that book and understanding his feelings and his attempts and his intuitive explanation and creation there. Why did he do that? What's his purpose? When you do that, your heart chakra literally connects to his heart chakra. Mm. And you get a whole other feel that now when you go to read the book, you can't put that book down. You're connected to it.
Mm. If I was writing a book, that would be a good way to write it as well, right?
Well, absolutely. You know, when you have everything focused on one thing, whether you're a basketball player shooting a basket, a writer writing a book, or a reader reading a book, it really makes no difference. And you see, part of this comes from mental training for athletes, because I worked with athletes, worked with basketball players, tennis players, swimmers, and getting them to be focused was really a big challenge. They're physically incredibly capable. Mm-hmm. But getting their mind to be focused and focus only on, in the basketball player's case, the basket in front of him, and not on the coach, not on the contracts, not how many points he's got, not on the defender, but to only focus on that basket is a real challenge. When he does, his shooting percentage goes up dramatically.
Right. So how long is the training for this kind of practice? How long would I have to read two books?
When I train kids, it's a 2 to 3 hour class, depending on how big the class is. When I train adults in a class, it's a 1 day training. If I do a private lesson, it's a few 1.5 hour lessons.
That's all you need to train, but then you have to.
That's
practice.
All you need, because this is an ability. And let me back up. One of the great mentors that I had taught me something very powerful, and that is this. The genius is within, waiting to come out. Mm-hmm. And so you already have the ability to read down the page and absorb it. You don't have to read left to right. That's the way they trained you in school. And that's utilizing simply a small part of the left brain that has to do with language, because language happens in sequence. But the reality is, Alan, you opened your eyes at birth, could see the birds, the clouds, the trees, the cars, all at one time, in parallel, never needed lessons.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, when the brain, when a baby is born, when a baby's formed inside a mother's womb, the eye and the brain are literally one organ that then becomes two.
Mm-hmm.
There's an incredible neurological pathway between the eye and the brain. You see in parallel, you see multiple things at one time, just like when you watch a movie. Or you can go into a TV store and watch 10 movies simultaneously without any problem whatsoever.
Right. So you're saying
we have this capacity.
When you look at a page of print, we have the capability of taking that whole page in with all the details of each word all at once. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you can scan down the page kind of like a copier machine does.
Right.
With a little bit of training, and you have to break the habit of how you read now. So you have to do two things. You have to break the habit, and then you have to turn on your brain power, which the brain power is there. You just have to turn it on. The visual capacity is there.
Mm-hmm. So we will have that. We do have that capacity to look at a page and know everything on it just by looking at it or scanning down it.
Scanning down it, correct. Uh-huh. Absolutely. And no different than if you walk into Shea Stadium and you scan across the field in the crowd. It's the same thing, only now they're words instead of, objects on a baseball field.
Because usually when I read, I like to focus on each word, absorb the meaning of each word, put together the concepts of the sentence and then the paragraph and then maybe the whole page or chapter or something like that. You know, does that still happen?
Well, let me.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. If I told you, let's say I'm coming in and giving a slideshow,
mm-hmm.
and I said, look, I'm going to show you a slide, and you maybe take 5 or 10 seconds on each slide, say they were pictures, and I said, you know what, I'm going to go faster. I'm going to show you 24 pictures in 1 second. You're going to say, wait a minute, I want to take in each picture and absorb it and understand it before I go on to the next.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Alan, a movie is 24 pictures a second.
Right.
And by having that motion, it becomes intriguing. You start seeing the connection to the bigger picture. You start understanding everything. And just like in the baseball example, if you want to focus on the second baseman, you can. You see he's part of the big picture, but you start focusing on any individual aspect that you want. But the reality is the words are part of a bigger meaning. And when you start reading in phrases and paragraphs, then you start getting the deeper meaning. You don't get the deeper meaning from the word.
I see. No, I'm open to it. I just, you know, it's just a whole new paradigm that you're talking about, but it sounds really exciting. You know,
well, look, you think in ideas, pictures and images.
Right.
This is the way we naturally think.
Right. Right.
And words create those pictures and images. So a picture represents 1,000 words. But if you have one picture, that snaps to you in a second.
Mm-hmm.
Less.
So,
and you think about a paragraph is just one part of a picture.
Right. So you're talking about really, I mean, that's just one aspect of our genius. We're all geniuses in that sense because we all have this incredible capacity that we're not using. How else do you explore the genius in us?
Well, lots of different ways. In fact, in my product, Into the Genius Zone, we have six geniuses: a music master, a finance master, an athlete, a spiritual teacher. And since I know you're into new realities, let's talk about the spiritual aspect.
Okay.
When I started teaching this, one of the things that I learned is that I could leave the seminar room where I'd have, say, 100 students, mm-hmm. and in another room, I could tune into a guy in the front wearing a blue sweatshirt, for example, and I could hear his thoughts. I could start sensing my students' thoughts. And this really intrigued me, but I didn't really know how to apply this. But I would start getting visions and premonitions, and certainly I could sense what was going on with my students. And that was critical because reading, as opposed to tennis or golf where you can see what someone's doing wrong, right? They're moving their elbow wrong, they're not bending their knees. With reading, you can't because it's all between the ears.
Right.
And what blocks most people is hesitation, self-doubt, and inner dialogue. Well, I could start hearing these things. And so I started developing a sixth sense. And it all happened because I had back problems, and I started doing yoga to help my back problems. And what I didn't know at the time that I do now was that yoga was opening up all my energy channels, and I started sensing things that I didn't realize I could before. So the reality is I went to Asia to start understanding and learning about this sixth sense and healing through a matter of spirit, or energy healing, as people call it, and this sixth sense, this whole psychic pathway, how I could tell a psychic the name Alan. I wouldn't even have to say Steinfeld. He could tell me everything about you.
Right.
He never met you, of course.
There's a
He's
lot.
He's on the other continent.
I know people who can do that. I mean, we can all do that. I mean, yeah, I know that. But, yeah, I mean, so that's just another aspect of this incredible human capacity that we have, you're saying.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And see, the thing that we know but we don't like to face is that genius – comes from massive frustration, because it's that frustration that, in the brain example I gave you before, causes the brain to turn on. If you look at geniuses in any aspect of life, you know, you look at Einstein, you look at great sports figures, they had massive frustration in their life. It's not like everything went easy. You know, you look at Confucius's background, you look at Michael Jordan got cut from the team in 10th grade. You know, I mean, these players and these brilliant people all had incredible frustration. And so
so
this is part of what turns us on, what causes us to dig deeper.
So you
and
sort
also
of
jam- we go through our bumps.
So you're saying you sort of jam the system so those things sort of turn on, like reading the book. And so how would you do that to develop like these spirit psychic abilities? What do you do in those cases?
Well, in very, very good question. One of the things that we know is that the mind is very powerful, and it's powerful to both help us and block us. And oftentimes, as we've learned from the great masters of the East, that we have to get the mind out of the way. And when we get the mind out of the way, when we can still the mind, when it comes to reading, for example, the light is hitting the book and bouncing right into your eyes at the speed of light, which we know is incredibly fast, infinitely fast.
Mm-hmm.
The mind is in the way. If we get the mind out of the way by learning to still the mind using simply breath and a heartbeat is what I use, all of a sudden we enter a different realm. When you go into the psychic pathway, you have to still the mind, get the mind out of the way, because the mind is where illusions and delusions are, and that's where a psychic would be inaccurate.
Mm-hmm.
They get their mind out of the way, and then they can tune in very easily. But if their mind is not out of the way, they have no chance.
Mm-hmm. I get that. Same with remote viewing and a lot of those things. Okay.
Absolutely.
The big question is what's it all for? Why are we doing all this? Where does it hope to get you or me or anyone doing this? What's the ultimate, reason for playing in this field?
Well, several things. I mean, personally,
yeah.
People nowadays know that they're only using a small part of their potential. As well with the internet and the computer revolution, we have more than 100,000 books and periodicals being published in the English language alone every month.
Mm-hmm.
There is new information coming at us. And the reality is the biggest advantage you can have is to learn faster. Because if you can learn faster, you can adopt the new technology, the new method, whatever it is, faster than the next guy. You can go into a library, as many of my students and I myself have many times, and read three or four books in an afternoon. Not one book for 3 or 4 weeks. You never read it well then. That's like watching a movie 5 minutes a day for 3 or 4 weeks. It's no fun that way.
Right.
When you can read a book in an hour or less and really absorb it and read 3 or 4 books on the same topic in a few hours, you really know that subject after that 3 or 4 hours. Reading the old way, all you do is your eyes get tired, you get bored stiff, your mind is bouncing around, and most people forget 90% of what they read that old way. So this is part of realizing our new human potential, which you're on the cutting edge of, I know, and this is what we're all capable of. And the reality is the way we teach reading now in schools hasn't changed very much in the last 500 years.
So you would bring this.
In fact, the only.
Yeah. Go ahead. No, I was just wondering about bringing it to schools. But the only thing you were going to say was what?
Well, the reality is, back in the Middle Ages, they thought that most people didn't have the capacity to read, remembering all those words. And they thought, they thought that only highly educated, sophisticated, aristocratic types had the capacity to read. Well, with the invention of the printing press, where books became cheap as opposed to prized objects, they realized that everyone could learn to read. Now, the reality is, in anticipation of what you're going to ask before about bringing it to the schools.
Right.
I have done demonstrations in schools on 4 continents. And in all 4 continents, Australia, Asia, America, and Europe, we had kids reading books in 15 minutes or less, standing up, being able to tell what they read, good readers, poor readers, teachers and parents stunned in the back. And this was 1, 2, or 3 hour class. But the reality is getting a school system to use a number 3 pencil instead of a number 2 pencil basically takes an act of Congress. Mm-hmm. And, schools don't actually react very fast. And if they do, they usually don't have a budget to do so. So my anticipation is to bring this direct to the public.
Right. No, I think it's a great thing. And I think this program is about activating people's potential, but ultimately, does it make us happier? Are you happy? Are you living a joyful life? I mean, this is really the bottom line behind all of it.
Well, happiness is a road, right? It's not a destination. We know that.
Right.
Happiness has a lot to do with fulfillment and so forth. This is about knowledge. This is about learning. This is about information. And the reality is we know love is what makes us happy. And not just romantic love, but this is part of the human modality, and we are just learning here in the West what chakras mean, even what real love is, unconditional love, what the masters have taught us. You don't see it in practice in public very often, but that's truly what brings someone happiness. And as well, you have to make a living, don't you? You have to know, and you have to, you know, be for people who want to be on the cutting edge. It can get on the cutting edge. Will it? Will they have love? Well, that requires a lot of other skills that I'm not sure is within the context of your program here, but happy to talk about that if you like.
Well, you know, it's, everything's in the context because it's all about that. But, you know, I think what you're doing is really helping people make be aware of who they really are. I mean, on a spiritual level, meaning that we have this great capacity of spirit in us to do so much more than we've been conditioned to do. And we're here to kind of break out of those boxes. I mean, that's the big thing that I...
Absolutely.
So talk about the energy healing aspect of your work then, too.
Okay. Well, to still the mind... And really, you talk about happiness and love, which I can very much appreciate. Mm-hmm. We need connection. And also we need detachment. Because just like a battery, which is a unit of energy, if you connect too many wires to that battery, it gets drained pretty fast. It gets weak. Mm-hmm. Right? And if it gets too weak, it dies. Same with our human body. We have a charge. We have electrical energy. We are electrical devices. If we have too many attachments, we get drained, weakened, and die. With a battery, you put it into a battery charger, which is connected to plus and minus, and that battery charges. As a human being, we have to detach from a lot of things in life, and we have to learn to connect and recharge our batteries, which means we need to literally learn to connect to heaven and earth. When we're connected to earth, which is a negative, grounding, as some people call it, and we connect to the heavens, however you want to use that word, connect to God, connect to the universe, you learn to charge your energy. And great healers learn to channel this energy and direct it sometimes into another being, another person, for the purpose of healing. And this is purely and simply energy healing. You're connecting to Father Heaven and Mother Earth, right, the female and the male, and you bring these energies together, and a good healer can direct those to somebody else. So you still have to still the mind, you still have to connect, and when you do so, you gain a sense of peace and you gain a sense of energy that most people have never experienced before.
So is there
applying it to help someone?
Do you have a practice to do that?
Sure.
Is there?
Yes, in my course, Energy Healing in the Sixth Sense, not only do I show great healers from around the world, two women and two men, but there's a method to it. There is an absolute method to learning to connect to the earth, learning to connect to the heavens, and learning to detach, which is the biggest challenge for all of us. Detach from our physical things, detach from all the things that are draining us. Not permanently, that's a choice, but just at least temporarily so that these things don't drain us. And that's critical. And most people don't understand why they feel so weak. Doctors certainly can't tell them. Doctors can only do a blood test. But they can't understand sometimes why they feel so drained. They don't understand their own energy system, and they're literally their own battery.
Well, can we go into that a little deeper, like talk about the energy system and talk about how we can connect to the heavens and the earth and, you know, see what
sure.
We do. And, yeah, talk it's about that a little more.
Okay. Ancient Taoist practice.
Yes.
And what the Taoists knew in Chinese medicine is they understood the organs, what they call the inner orbit. And our organs, essentially, to keep it simple, are our batteries. And obviously, as we do activities, we walk around and so forth, it starts using energy. But the biggest user of energy in our entire being is the brain. And most people, especially those who have higher education, taught to think about every problem and analyze and figure it out. We use our brains and we think and think and think, and we're never taught to stop thinking. This is the whole practice of meditation. Because in meditation, you stop thinking, you turn the brain off, you get silent, you get still. And after you do so, you feel recharged. So the reality is, for the average Westerner, getting into a silent, still state where they can still their mind is a huge challenge. And the key step, and what I teach and what I would love to share with your listeners now, is to simply take a deep breath, breathing in through your stomach first, holding it, and sensing 5 heartbeats before you exhale. Simply that. When you do so, the magic of this practice is this. You cannot think and sense your heartbeat at the same time, Alan.
You said
sense your heartbeat, not with your hands.
Right.
Take a deep breath in.
Okay.
Your stomach first. Deep breath in. And sense 5 heartbeats.
5
not
heartbeats?
Not with your hand, but just sense it.
Five
heartbeats.
5 different times of heartbeats. 5, not all at once, just 5.
Correct.
Okay.
Well, your heartbeats sequentially, right? So, you know, 1 heartbeat at a time, but you count to 5. You count 5 of them before you exhale.
Okay, I'm doing that. Okay.
Good. So you notice if you do that, everything slows down. Right? For that.
Yes, thank you.
For that moment, your brain went into a still mode where you had a little bit of peace. And that opens the door to many other things. Now, once we master that, where we can sense our heartbeat and then we go to 6 heartbeats and 7 heartbeats and 10 heartbeats and so forth, we start gaining a sense of peace and controlling our mind rather than our mind controlling us, which is where most people are at. Then what you learn to do, what I teach my students, and this applies if I was teaching a psychic, if I was teaching someone to read faster, or if I was teaching a 12-year-old school kids, we learn to pull all of our energy into the center of our head. You see, the center of our head, what we know, and I know you know this, is a place called the pineal gland.
Right.
And the pineal gland opens up the doorways to a whole new sense of realities. It senses energy. The biggest statue in the Vatican complex is the pine cone, which represents the pineal gland. This is our 6th sense, or our 3rd eye. So when you and this is an ancient Buddhist practice, you pull all your energy into the center of your head, with your mind calm, sensing your heartbeat, and all of a sudden you start entering a zone. And this zone, if you're shooting a basketball, you will shoot it much faster. If you're studying for a test, you'll remember and study much deeper. If you're psychically tuning into someone, you will tune in much more accurately. Or if you're reading a book, all of a sudden you notice that you and that book are one. So we pull all of our energy into the center of our head. And literally, once we do that, we pull all of our energy, our love energy into the center of our heart, our emotional energy into the center of our emotions, so that it effectively becomes like 3 balls. Mental energy in the center of your head, right? Love in the center of your heart, and emotional energy in the center of your emotions. So that's 3 balls. And you connect that to 2 other balls, 1 giant ball in the center of the universe, and 1 ball in the center of the earth. So it's a 5 balls technique, 3 within you and 2 on the outside of you, so that you're aligned and charging. And now the earth and the heavenly energy is flowing through you and charging you. And I can tell you, I just did a demonstration to a high school wrestling team yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I had one boy come up to the front of the room, and we did a little arm wrestle exercise, and he was stressed and, you know, fighting me as hard as he could. And then we had this energy flow through him. And it was amazing for everyone to see, because now instead of fighting me, he was, his arm was like an oak tree. It was absolutely solid. Mm. And he was less stressed. And everyone was amazed because they saw how much more power he had, yet he had less stress. He was much stronger in just a few seconds. The concept works like this. If we take a garden hose and it, there's nothing flowing through it, you can bend it easily, right?
Right.
Now, if you start flowing water full speed through it, that garden hose becomes very strong, very stiff. Follow?
Yeah.
That's the difference here. So when you have this energy flowing through you, you become very strong, and this is how great masters proceed. And then there are breatharians who don't eat, and they live through this cosmic energy. Mm-hmm. The great masters, they are so clear, they're literally crystal clear, that they, when they walk, it seems like they're floating because the cosmic energy is coming through so strong that literally their feet can float across above the ground, or they can walk on water, as we've heard some do, or they can levitate and things like this. And that all has to do with reaching a level of clarity.
Well, you know all this.
A level of clarity and a level of strength.
But can you do that? I mean, where are you at personally? Because you seem to know all these secrets. So how much more does it take for someone like you to get to that level of clarity? Or maybe you're there. I don't know.
Well, there are levels. And so understanding, for example, if we take chess, you have a master level player, you have an international master, you have a grandmaster, and then you have guys who are just phenomenally incredible. And you have this in any discipline, whether it's basketball. In spirit masters, you have people who can touch others, and they instantly heal. You have spiritual masters that when some of their skin breaks off, it crystallizes. People like Paramahansa Yogananda, when he died in 1948 in Los Angeles, the coroner's office reported that his body did not decompose at all for 21 days. That's purity. That's clarity. And no, I'm not there yet. I grew up, I come from a broken home and figured all this stuff out, never believed in God or even psychic phenomena until I was after 30.
Right. You know, but
so I'm not there yet. I'm somewhere in the middle, able to instruct and bring this wisdom to the masses. But to say I walk on water and wear a white coat, no. I'm not there.
But I'm just curious. I mean, not as a challenge to you, but as an inquiry into what do you think is in the way of you achieving those levels, because you have – you know all the secrets, it seems. Maybe there's more to know, but I'm just curious because you've been working at this for a long time. I mean, do you want to be one of those high spiritual masters?
My goal is to learn and communicate this to the masses. I go to the East and bring it to the West, and actually I take from the West and bring it to the East. And that's my role in this lifetime. And so my role is not to be some guy in a white cloak in a monastery. That is not my role in this lifetime. But there are those who have that role.
Okay.
And most people, when it comes to, we'll call it spiritual enlightenment, they're still struggling with kindergarten, you know, or they realize after many years that they went to the wrong school. And so they realize that they haven't been learning what they need to be learning. So I may be, you know, a graduate with a college degree, but I don't have my PhD in this, so to speak. And nor is that my progression. What I have done is I've created what I believe to be the planet's most powerful reading system, and I'm willing to share that. I do mental training with athletes, and I do corporate coaching with executives, all to reach higher levels of performance, and all of it comes to getting their mind out of the way, learning how to recharge their batteries, and seeing their vision crystal clear, and gaining a new sense of strength and power that they realize they didn't have before. That's what I teach.
Well, I appreciate that, and I think that is a great thing to teach, and I do want to help you get that out to people, to schools, to elementary schools. I think it would be a great service to accelerate and to make people aware of their potential. It truly is about how we can change society collectively to have people realize who they really are. So how can we do that? How can we go more public with this information that you're sharing, that you have?
Well, I think, you know, one of the things, one of the ambitions that I've had is to work with a school, maybe a university, maybe a high school, on a six-month basis to teach their kids, teach the teachers to teach this. But the reality is, generally my experience is schools need, you know, 2, 3, 4 years in advance to do something like that. And I don't have that kind of patience, nor budget to sit and wait around for them. So the other option is to bring it straight to the public. So what I've done is I've put everything I know in a product, and I've got a product for kids, Reading Genius for Kids, and I've got a product, Reading Genius, which on my website, readinggenius.com, both are available, and people can access and learn this direct. Waiting for the schools, you and I will be dead, our grandkids will be dead before that happens. I mean, that's just the reality of it. Schools don't change fast, and there's a lot of great teachers out there that want to implement their own changes, but nothing happens fast in schools. So people have to learn this direct. And just like the medical breakthroughs that often you write about, the medical system in Big Pharma isn't going to adapt them readily because they have a lot vested in the current system. And the same with education. You know, bringing change to the educational system where there's a lot vested in the current system and things that bring about change don't happen so fast. I mean, I can tell you a story. I brought this into as a demonstration to a progressive private school out in California, and the principal's son had reading problems, and he was in the eighth grade, so I came in and taught a bunch of eighth graders and went 2 hours. These kids read books in less than 15 minutes, and he tested them after, gave them a standard test that normally the kids would get after a month, and he saw that the kids were getting A's, B's, and C's slightly better than if they had read it for a month, and his son was one of the biggest stars. So I thought, finally, okay, I demonstrated this. And this is in 1993, by the way. The principal calls me in to his office, and he says, Ed, great course, thank you very much. I really, you know, it opened my eyes, but there's no way we can adapt this into our school. And I said, why not? And he says, Ed, he goes, we have a budget of 8 books per year per kid. He goes, with your system, he goes, they're going to burn through that. Those 8 books in the first month. What do I do in the second month? He goes, I know what you would say, Ed. Give them the ninth grade books. He goes, Ed, what do I do when kids get to the ninth grade?
That's ridiculous.
He goes, Ed, this is reality.
That's an awful excuse. I mean, you can get books in a library. You can get books. I mean, that's an awful.
This is how administrators think. I'm not justifying what he said. I'm just saying this is what I heard. And then he said, this is the other thing. This is a real key thing. He says, I got 4 women, you know, in their 40s and 50s teaching reading. They've been doing it 20, 30 years. They're not going to do what you do with upside down and doing jumping jacks with your eyes closed and using music.
Yeah.
He goes, they're just not going to do this. And then, you know, one of the teachers was watching and she said, well, I suggest you go to teachers college and teach them. Because we're too old and set in our ways. And I did go to teachers college, San Jose State University, and they said, you know, we're just going to be new teachers. We don't have any power to implement anything new. You have to go to the old and established ones because they're the ones with all the tenure and the authority to implement new programs. So, you know, at that point, Alan, I realized that I could die real early trying to get this involved in the school.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's when I decided to go straight to the public and create a program that for people who want to learn it, they can order it on the internet and learn it themselves or attend a seminar when seminars are available.
Well, you're not the only one doing this, or is this something unique that you've developed just on your own?
I have developed the Reading Genius system. So this is unique to me. And this is available to everyone, but it's something that I created.
Right. And it's guaranteed to work for sure. I mean any normal.
Well,
it's
kind of like a sport club. You know, you can tell people, hey, if you change your diet and do the workouts, you will lose weight and get in better shape. But you can't tell a person it's guaranteed because they're the ones who actually have to do it.
So you definitely have to do the practice.
Oh, absolutely.
Otherwise, you won't see the change. Okay. Right. Right.
If your mind is not still, you miss out on going into that zone. Mm-hmm. There is only one person on the planet that can still your own mind. Only one. And if you do it, you go into that zone. If you don't do it, you don't get into that zone. And for stilling your mind, this is something we all have the capacity to do. Very few people are willing to have the persistence or the willpower to actually do it.
Yeah.
When you do it, amazing things happen.
So that's a big part of it, stilling the mind. And that, of course, opens up these spiritual realities, too. So it feels like a complete human potential system you've developed, really, in a big way.
In a big way, because there's you enhance your memory, you enhance your recall. People oftentimes have told me they have premonitions. They can foresee what's in the book before they open it. Amazing things start happening.
Well, you could talk a little bit about your intuition that seems to be...
Sure.
Yeah, have been opened and stimulated because of this practice. Yeah, tell me about that, because you seem to follow your intuition.
Well,
just like calling me, you said, and then you just called me today, and I said, let's do the show, and there we are.
Okay. You know, as I mentioned before, I'm an electronics engineer and mathematician, so I always try to figure out how things work. And the idea of, you know, just trusting God and it'll all work, I need to understand a little bit more than that. And so when I would meet people, psychics, who I just mentioned the name of a friend, and they could tell me all about them, I said, well, wait a minute, how does this work? So one of the things that we know now is the body has an antenna system. We know how an antenna works. It picks up on wavelengths. And an antenna, from a scientific perspective, is anything that conducts electricity. So any wire can work as an antenna. Now, we have a human nervous system, and this conducts electricity. So when I touch you on the knee and your brain feels it, there's an electrical pulse that went from your knee to your brain. So, in effect, you've got antenna throughout your entire body. Now, what we know is an antenna or a piece of metal is not enough. You need a tuner. So the cell phone or the TV or whatever has a tuner that tunes in and takes that signal and translates it into something usable, a picture or a voice or what have you. So when it comes to our mind and when it comes to our body, we are receiving and transmitting through our antenna system all our thoughts and actions all the time. Mm-hmm. By stilling the mind, we learn to use our tuner. So when I went to study in Asia with my Buddhist teacher, Buddhist master, and she would teach me to still the mind, which was really difficult. And I would go through trying to think, and say, she'd stop your mind. But when I could stop my mind, my eyes would be closed. She'd pick a flower from the garden, and she'd ask me, how long is the stem? And I told her. And I was right. She'd ask me how many petals are on it. What color is it? And I was correct. Then she would bring people in front of me, eyes closed, and I could see cavities on their teeth. Mm. I could see through their body. I could sense where there was dark and light energy, if they were dehydrated. I could see where there was pain or imbalance in their body. I could sense sensitivity and sensuality. And sometimes I would have visions about what would happen with these people, with certain events and so forth. And I remember one lady coming in front of me, and I said, recently you had a dental exam, and it's this tooth in the lower back on the right. And
And I said, you had a real heartthrob for the dentist. And afterwards, you know, she came out laughing. She goes, that was exactly right. Well, these are the things that come to us when we still the mind and go into the spiritual realm.
Can you still do those things, or do you have to be in a certain state?
Oh, absolutely. No, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. If you want to test me right now and you want a reading, I'll give you a reading.
Okay.
You want a reading?
Well, maybe, but just finish that other thought you saying because you were saying because
knowledge is a field. Truth is a field, just like gravity. It exists everywhere. Truth is a field.
Uh-huh.
And when we tune into this field, there's a field around Alan Steinfeld.
Uh-huh.
There's a field around Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
And all his actions go into this field. Some call it the aura. That's a New Age term. Others call it the psychobiological energetic field or electromagnetic field. That's a scientific term. Mm-hmm. But there's this field around us, and there's a field of truth. There's a field of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why people who ask the question, and they get the answer, ask and you shall receive. It comes because they're asking into this field and the answer comes.
So
it's all around us.
So just by quieting your mind, you can tap into the field, you're saying?
Quieting your mind and detaching.
Well, maybe you can do it now. Can you I'm actually in this room with a few people. Can you do the demonstration where you can tune into the people that I'm with?
Well, okay. Do this.
Okay.
Pick a person in the room.
Okay.
And I want you to look in your right hand, assuming you have a headset on. Look, put that picture, person's picture in your right hand.
Okay.
And I want you to look at your right hand. Just look at it now.
Yes.
And then hold your right hand out to the side, as if you're pledging allegiance or something.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay, so now I can see that you have a strong mental and heart connection with this person.
Oh.
There's all the energy is between your mind and their mind and your heart and their heart. There's a little bit of tension, but there's a lot of joy, and you really love bouncing ideas between this person.
That's there's, good.
Can we talk personally?
Can we talk personally? No, that's good. Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's virtually no sexual energy. There's not a lot of emotional energy between you, almost none. It's all between the heart and the mind. And the way I do that very simply is when you hold that person's when you hold your hand out with that person's picture
right.
in your imagination, I see the energy lines between you and them, their chakra system and your chakra system.
Actually,
so I can see in the first, second, third chakra, there's no connection.
Are you actually getting a picture? You're actually seeing that? You're actually seeing an image of
I'm seeing the energetic connection between their chakra system and yours.
So you're seeing our chakras connecting on the heart, on the fourth, fifth, and sixth levels. That's what you're saying?
Well, right. And if we go into detail, say for the fifth chakra, which is our communication right our throat,
mm-hmm.
you're the one who does most of the talking, and they are doing most of the listening, but the ideas flow. I mean, you know, between you and they, there's a lot of connection at the mind level. I see on the fifth chakra, you're the bigger talker. I see on the heart connection, there's a strong heart connection with a little bit of tension. It's almost like four or five guitar strings, and one of them is a little too tight.
We're working through that.
Everything else.
Right.
So if I wanted to find out more about that, I would take that tense guitar string
mm-hmm.
and tune into that and focus on it a little bit deeper.
Well, do you want?
And that's a little bit tough.
Go ahead, tune in.
Well, I was going to say that's a little bit tough for me now talking to you on the radio because I have to go into my zone and do it, and that takes a few minutes.
Okay.
To go into my meditative state to do so. But if you had hired me to do a reading, this is what I would do,
mm-hmm.
And so forth. And so now I'm in not an overly caffeinated mode, but a hyped up mode to where I can do a light reading pretty
right.
easily. A deep reading takes a deeper level of concentration for me. So apologies to disappoint you here.
No, that was very, very good. Excellent, wasn't it? Yes, yes. My friend Victoria said that was really good, too. And no, so you're showing this is something, and of course we're all capable of doing that, but the process is quieting the noise of the mind so we can actually see what's really there energetically. Is that what you're saying?
Going beyond the mind.
Yeah.
Right? And literally what we do, we sense our sixth sense. For me, not for everybody, but for me, I feel it on my heart. Mm-hmm. So I get a picture in my mind, and I feel it in my heart. And our heart is what New Yorkers call our built-in bullshit detector. But our heart senses truth.
Uh-huh.
Our heart also senses love. Heart can only sense two energies, truth and love.
Uh-huh.
Love is the outgoing energy. Truth is the incoming energy, or the yin and yang of the heart. Mm-hmm. So on one side of the planet, Buddha taught to reach truth. And the result is love. On this side of the planet, yang, Jesus taught love, and the result is truth. And now I can sense Victoria wanting to ask me lots of questions now. Is that my evolution? Or,
No, she wants that.
I'm kind of feeling her as...
Well, you're feeling her more, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no.
I can sense her intrigue, yes.
Yeah,
So the reality is, coming back to your question then...
Yeah.
We tune with our mind and we sense with our heart, and the mind and the heart have to align. When the mind and the heart align, and when the spirit and the mind align, and you get the mind out of the way, then you have alignment, then you're tuning into truth. And so when you ask the question, the answer comes because it's coming from the field.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been doing this, practicing on this level?
I went to Asia in 1999. I started reading Genius in 1993. And part of my evolution was in learning reading Genius and the powers of the mind. I realized there was something that controlled the mind, and this was called the spirit. Mm-hmm. And then I got involved in spiritual disciplines, and when I was seeking help to how to advance my craft, no one on the mental level, the university level, could help me. But when I started reading the spiritual books, all the answers were there. Right. Because these great spirit masters knew how to control the mind. The educators had no idea.
Well, it seems like, you know, maybe you should, I mean, this is what I'm getting, that you should just start coming from a spiritual level. I mean, teach it as a spiritual class and then kind of spread it out to include the practical aspects. But, you know, I think if you come from the overarching spiritual perspective, I think you will get more people online. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. Thank you for that.
So, I mean, I definitely want to help you do that because I sense that you do have, you know, a skill, a talent, and a desire to help uplift humanity to a higher level. So let's see what we can do together.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. I would love to.
And I think we have a question on line one. Yeah, let's take this question. It's good. Okay, can we get Doris on the line from, I think that's Montana?
Missouri.
Okay, Doris? Yes,
hi,
go ahead.
How you doing? Well, I have been
Hello, Doris.
Hi, how you doing? And I've been teaching my daughter universal energy and meditation. She's only 9. I have her to the point where she when I go into a meditation where she can see, like, spirals around my body and the energy come into my body. But I still have a problem with her reading ability. And I would just want to know some simple techniques that may help me to develop her reading, because the energy, I just started learning about 2 years now, so I'm not like you, great, like a in a white mm-hmm. role. But I do have some abilities, and I do see things, and I've experienced things in the last couple of years. So I'm trying to start my daughter young.
So you're asking how to start your daughter. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, Ed. Yeah.
I need to, in order to answer you intelligently, Doris, I need to ask lots of questions about her, just to see where she's at and what exact difficulty she has. I'm not sure we have time for that.
Yeah, we have time. Go ahead.
I would suggest. Okay, so let me ask you this. Is she at a second grade, third grade reading level? Where is she right now?
Well, she's in the fourth grade, but she's like at the maybe high third grade level. She's in the fourth grade. But
okay, so she can stand up and read a third grade book aloud.
Right.
Right?
Right. Yes.
So now here's the biggest challenge. You mm-hmm. see, she learned to read, as we all did, by standing up and speaking, pronouncing each word one after the other, correct?
Yes.
And the reality is, that uses the verbal part of our brain, which slowly develops. It develops in different people at different levels. But the reality is, she could open her eyes at birth and see everything instantaneously. So if she's not reading well, it just means that the system that they gave her, standing up and pronouncing one word at a time, she hasn't mastered yet. And the reality is, and I know for me, as I had teeth coming in and teeth going out, and I would mispronounce a word and the whole class would giggle, I realized that this is how they taught prayer in school, because I would just pray the next time the teacher came around and said, "Who wants to read?" And I would just pray that she wouldn't call on me. Because then that had this emotional stigma that something was wrong with the way I spoke, and I had a lisp for a while. And I was behind in reading in high school. I had to take remedial courses just to go to college. So here's what we know about your daughter. If I was to work with your daughter, first off, I would take this third or fourth grade book, whatever she was comfortable with, and I would challenge her. We would read it upside down. We would do exercise to literally build her muscle. We would also do some mental training to help her visualize and train her brain for what it's going to be doing. We also have to remove some of the stigmas that undoubtedly she's encountered by feeling like she's a failure, by, you know, whatever it is, low grades on tests, kids laughing at her, teacher calling her dumb. You know, most people experience some of those things. So we have to remove that emotional stigma. And that can be done in a variety of things. Neuro-linguistic programming, NLP is great at that. So that her mind becomes clear and she comes to a state of neutral again, as opposed to something's wrong with me or I can't do this. And so those are the key things in essence that we would want her to do. Once she becomes into the state of neutral, then we can train her brain. We can start having fun. Reading upside down is a great exercise. When I say upside down, I'm talking generally 5 to 10 times faster than you normally read. When you read upside down, what happens is this. You turn on the right brain because it's patterns you don't instantly recognize. Your brain says, hey, 5% of the brain power can't do this. So she starts turning on 10% of the brain power and 20 and 30 and 40%. Then you turn the book right side up and she's got 40% of her brain power turned on, and all of a sudden things become easy. You see, in schools, they never teach kids to turn on their brain power. They just say, oh, you can't do it this way. Something's wrong with you. When you teach kids to turn on their brain power before they do something, undoubtedly you break through, and for me personally, broke through just about every learning disability supposedly out there. Dyslexia comes from right brain people trying to read in a left brain way. And so, you know, all these quote-unquote learning disabilities come from using 5% of the brain power, having 95% dormant, and saying that 5% isn't working well. Well, if the 5% isn't working well, let's turn on the other 95% and see if anything starts working better, and undoubtedly it does. So without knowing her specifically, bringing her to the point of neutral, to where she's confident and happy and no stigma, is real key. And only you as a mother would know what's best to do there. But once you can do that, then it's a matter of challenging her and giving her games. And my Reading Genius for Kids product, their software with colors and music and a variety of books that they can have games and exercises that constantly challenge them and literally build a mind to where within 2 minutes of exercises on this software, they start reading in phrases. They start reading faster than the average kids. They start excelling. And, you know, when kids start doing well in something, they start liking it better, right? And when they don't do well, they kind of not like it. So that's what's key for your daughter, if that helps.
Well, how can people order the software? Where would they get it? What's the website?
ReadingGenius.com and ReadingGeniusForKids.com.
Okay. Does that help you, Doris?
Yes, it did. It helped me a lot.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Okay, yeah. Check the website, Reading Genius, and maybe we'll bring Ed to Missouri, you know? It might be great. No, I mean, if you can really do what you say you're doing, and I believe you can, this is a revolution in education. Really, really it is. And
on the website, there is a letter from the U.S. Air Force Academy where they brought me in, and they tested me. They tested the students before and after. And literally what they showed is that after a few hours using standardized reading tests, that the students read 550% faster with improved comprehension.
Wow.
And that was with a standard reading test. But standard reading tests are a few paragraphs and multiple choice questions. Mm-hmm. You ever notice that? Mm-hmm. They never test them on the book. They never test them with essay-type questions. And there's a reason for that. And the reason is very simple. If they did, every school would fail.
Mm-hmm.
And then on that U.S. Air Force Academy letter, it shows that when the students, the cadets and some professors, were given books to read openly, many of them read in excess of 40 pages a minute.
40 pages
50,
a
60.
Wow.
Yes. That means a 400-page book in 10 minutes.
Wow.
This is documented on the letter on my website from the U.S. Air Force Academy. And they say, with the caveat, there's no standard test to test at those speeds.
Well,
So the reality is
– yeah.
Go ahead.
No, the reality is – go ahead. You finish.
The reality is – We test reading, whether you're taking the MBA exams, exams, SATs, MedCats, MCAT exams. They're all multiple choice questions and a few paragraphs. You're not really testing reading. That's like me asking to see how fast you can run and telling you to run across the room. You know, it's not a test. It's just a minute sample. And so it never really tests, and it doesn't really show that – people can't stay focused for more than a few minutes.
Mm.
People can't concentrate. When people read a chapter, 30 or 40 pages, they forget 90% of it. That's a fact.
That's because their mind.
So they never tested that level.
We have to turn on our
mind. Mind hasn't been trained.
Yeah, no, I think what you're saying is great. Turning on our minds, activating our full potential, developing a spiritual awareness. I mean, all of these are our points and realities, I really think, is about bringing in a new level of consciousness. So thank you, Ed. Anything you'd like to leave us with? Any insights or?
Oh, hey, you know, I'm grateful to have a chance to be on this show. And, there's a famous story that ends with really us understanding that there's a genius in all of us waiting to come out. And that genius manifests for some of us in athletic ability, some of us artistic, some of us with all different skills, but we all have the ability to master and realize our genius. And so everyone out there listening has to know that.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. I think we can be a master in anything we really set our mind to, it sounds like. You know, it sounds like
correct.
Sounds like this. You were talking about a revolution of spirit and bringing together the mind, the body, and the spirit. And
correct.
Thank you. Thank you. So how do you say your last name again?
Stracher.
Ed Stracher. I've been talking to Ed Stracher and his website, Reading Genius. I'm thinking of bringing him to New York to put on some workshops and talks. That'll be on my website, newrealities.com. If you have any questions, how can people find you? Just on your website, Ed?
Yeah, on my website, or they can another website I have is geniuszone.com. So edit geniuszone.com. If they want to email me, they're more than welcome to.
Thanks for being a guest. I think that was really amazing stuff and exactly the kind of thing I love hearing about, because I know there are realities we have yet to realize, and they're all inside of us. We just have to explore it, open up the possibility. So...
yeah, that's right. Alan, thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. This is Alan Steinfeld for New Realities. And if you want to reach me, email me at newrealities@earthlink.net. And check my website, newrealities.com. And I'll hear from you next week. Thank you.